The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Baroogian.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. This is Jack Baroogian. Welcome to the Jack B Show. As they say in the introduction, folks, the show where pit smarts meet street smarts. Let's hope we have a little bit of both these days. We're going to need it with what's going on in the market. It's got a good show for you today. In fact, it's our last show for about a week. I'm going to take a week off here and go visit my lovely daughter with my beautiful bride of 20, my young blushing bride of 26 years. And we're going to go out there. We're going to celebrate our anniversary, see our daughter who's out in school in Europe, and really enjoy some of the Bavarian countryside and maybe try to enjoy ourselves a little bit at Oktoberfest with a beverage or two. But anyway, before we get there, we do have one more market to cover. That is the one today. And it is a sick market. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm the first one to look at this market and say, hey, it's great, it's lovely, it's wonderful, let's hold hands, let's sing. And then if I see what I think is a bit of a warning signal, I'm going to point it out to you. Today's action was a bit of a warning signal. And for me, there are times where you have to pay attention to what the market is telling you. Once again, don't trade the market you want. Trade the market you have in front of you. And the market that we have in front of us is not digesting QE infinity very well. And for those of us that were waiting for it, and, you know, maybe it's going to be a delayed effect. I'm not quite sure. But all I know is I don't like this action. And with it tells me that there's probably a time to start looking for some protection. So if you haven't done it yet, folks, what I would recommend wholeheartedly is that you use this volatility index under 17, which is where it's at now, and buy some downside put protection. If it goes off the board, worthless, God bless. Look, at least you can sleep at night. But, you know, when it acts like this, when the market is not doing what it should do. And look, you know what? This is probably a good time to bring in our guest who's about as good an astute a market observer as anybody. Of course, I'm talking about Alan Rohrbach, the founder of Rohr International. Before we get started, Alan, how are you, my good friend? Always good to see you.
I'm doing great. Great to be here for the last show for a little while, Jack.
Oh, you know what? Hang on one second. I think we had a... Hey, now try it. Try it now.
Hello. Yes.
There we are. That's much better. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's great to be here for the last show for a little while, especially with such a, as you say, interesting market activity, along with such a week that is so fraught, has so many more things coming up. But this is exactly the kind of week. And I know you were at one time a great disbeliever in trend, technical trend views, and you've come to incorporate that very strongly now. And how is the market actually acting? And we've got some levels for the folks later, but the bottom line is consistent with what you were saying.
I want to ask you this question. Let's start with this question. Is this action, one, what you would consider to be, you know, I use the term sick. I guess you could use any adjective you want. Not acting right. All right. That's the first question. Number two, are you surprised after the QE3 announcement that we are seeing this kind of action?
And subsequent activity around the world.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get to that in a moment. But, Jack, yes, this is exactly where the real world macro technical view, as we call it. Now, folks, don't be scared by that term. Macro technical is very simple. It's that you need to have an idea of the price trend evolution, the actual price movement, that's a context for the news that's coming out. Look at how many months now, and kudos to you, Jack, as I always offer, because I fought the market a bit because I didn't trust
QE. You can't fight the market. I learned that with the bond market a long time ago.
How much bad news did we have? And we went all through it from the first of the year, how every time the market broke, except for a brief while out of March into May, all the bad news, the market would break, but then it could not get through the key support, and it just said, yeah, Europe's terrible, some of the data isn't good, but we're going up. And now here we have Ben Buzz Lightyear Bernanke, that is quantitative easing to infinity and beyond.
Yeah, how about it?
And especially you're saying the market action today, but this was presaged by what happened yesterday. We had his other super dove cohort, Charles Evans of the Chicago Fed, out early talking about how just do more and more quantitative easing. And secondly,
well, he's a dove. I mean, we all know that.
But,
so he's,
but we
got to
look at the market action.
If it was up to him, they would have done everything that I had suggested, and that is moving out the inflation target rate, you know, taking the interest rate paid to reserve banks to negative. I mean, look.
But what happened there was Evan spoke early, and the market ran up to 1450 area. This is December S&P future, not the cash, which is our tolerance of resistance of the 1445 area. By the time Bernanke was speaking, more of the same quantitative easing enthusiasm and saying it's the right thing to do, the market had dropped back around 1440. By later in the day, it was below that. Then today, somewhat interesting news from Europe. Spain may be closer to asking for that bailout. And
well, in fact, let's stop there for
and
a second.
Let me finish.
Isn't it the fact that they're not going to be asking for these funds?
This is a whole thing we want to get into
a little segment.
Because
I'm really curious about
that. The dynamic
that.
In Europe is interesting, and I'm including a column in tonight's summary perspective. I held off an extra day because the other thing I want to incorporate in the summary perspective was the Reserve Bank of Australia decision, which was a little bit of a surprise rate cut from 3.5% to 3.25%. Now, there's another form of easing, not big quantitative easing like Europe and Japan and us, but another form of easing. And once again, the market's up early, but no better than 1445. And now it's fading again by $10-$12. The market, in the technical terms, considering the reinforcement for central bank attempts to boost the economy and the markets, you're right, Jack, it's sick. It's a technical what we call fail.
Alan, I agree, and this is what I'm going to say to you. You know, there are times when I look at the market and I say to myself, it's overvalued and it's failing for the right reasons. Then there are times where I don't see an overvaluation. I see a suppressed multiple, which is exactly why the market wasn't going down earlier in the year.
Sure.
All right. I see a situation where there could be a contraction in earnings because of the slowdown. But I guess what I'm saying is that I'm not looking for the market to break. But what I'm looking at is a situation where if the market doesn't rally from here, it's going to lose confidence, and maybe we get that contraction of the multiple, which in that case, we do get that 100-handle, break. But, I mean, I'm not looking for – and I need for people to understand this. I'm not looking for a 20 or 30% correction. That's not in my – that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at maybe a 5 or a 10% correction if this action continues.
Right.
And I guess what I'm saying is it's either, and follow this because you'll appreciate it, it's either a bear trap because it's got all of the signs and it's got all of those beautiful little bells and whistles. It's saying you can almost hear that sucking noise. Get short, please get short. I mean, you know what? I've had so many people call me up and say, I got to get short this market. When I hear that, it starts to lead me to believe that maybe they're wrong, or worse yet, maybe it's a trap. So here's what I'm going to say. Either it's a bear trap, or it's the beginning of a 10% correction.
And we'll know that by what happens as and when it gets into only a 5% correction, which would be...
Oh, we're only 2 or 3% off the highs as it is, and it's nothing.
Well, I'm saying, and I'm saying 1,400 for all manner of good reasons, starting at 1415, where the highs were on the futures going back into early April when they topped out, but intensifying on various congestion, moving averages, all the crazy stuff we look at as technicians, 1400 to maybe 1390 is very big area, and if they get there and hold it, then it's just a sell-off. If it's 5%, who cares?
Well, 5% I can handle.
Right.
And I think that I can live with that. In fact, if anything, it would make me feel better because I've got so many morons out there that are getting bullish. You and I know that. Whenever, I have the what I call the Crayola traders, and, these are the diehard bears. When I've got the Nario Rabinis and the Mark Fabers of the world going, oh, you know what? Maybe we're wrong.
Yeah, I know.
That's usually when I want to get out of my lawn.
And where does it happen? It always happens above a big high. And you'll remember going into the Fed meeting, I said, I don't think they're going to go for major quantitative easing. I was wrong. They did. And we said above 1440 to 45. 1440 was the huge old lead contract futures high from back in May of 2008. And above it, the bears never had a chance going back several weeks ago. But to hold up above it for 1 week after that, and by next week being back below it, It's the people who fight the market always get squeezed out or knocked out on the downside going through an old major level, and then it's usually about the time the market exhausts.
Alan, I want to switch gears on you because, you know, next segment we're going to bring Eric Long out, and I want to talk markets with him, and we're going to be kind of getting into our little Socratic – we're going to get into the McLaughlin Group right here on the Jack B. Show. I like that too. But today I want to talk about Spain real quick with you. There was a headline that came out that basically said that – is it the Prime Minister Rajoy? Is that his
name? Yes.
Rajoy is not going to request rescue funds. It's not imminent, I guess, is really the thing. And the market broke off of that. Explain to me and the listeners why the market broke off of that comment.
Well, I'll give you the quick and dirty explanation in a moment. But as you know, I'm a shameless promoter of my blog when I come on your show. And
go ahead, promote. Promote away, my friend.
ROHR-blog. If you search that, it'll come up because I post so regularly. And there was a great column at the weekend by a guy at the FT I really like by the name of James McIntosh, who explained the dynamic. And I'm going to have a post on there that's going to include the link to that article, so people don't necessarily have to go to FT.com to look for it. Here's the dynamic. Every time Draghi says he just needs the approval and he'll go in and buy Spanish bonds in size, Spanish yields come down. Well, every time Spanish yields come down, the powers that be in Spain, and especially those regions that are getting so contentious,
like, you know, the Basque,
Catalonia, and Andalusia, and the others that are saying, oh, it's a big negotiating ploy, but they're saying, oh, if we don't like the way you handle this, we're going to secede. All of a sudden, yields are well below 6% on Spanish bonds. They go, well, yields are better. Maybe we don't need the bailout. And as soon as they start using that as a way to negotiate harder for more forbearance from the European Union, more support and less austerity, then the appetite to actually make a deal with them goes down, and therefore the risk that the ECB won't get the approval to intervene goes up. So they're on this giant yo-yo where Draghi says we're going to intervene in the bond market. Everyone gets happy. Spanish yields go down. They see it in Spain and go, well, our yields are down. What do we need these guys for?
Well, here, am I right in assuming, just when I look at it like this, that this is not economics 101, but political science 101?
Political pseudoscience.
Okay.
This is where everyone thinks they know what they're doing, and hopefully they don't end up in a train wreck.
Yeah, you know what? I guess that's what I'm really getting at, is because I saw that one headline, and I consider myself a fairly astute market observer, and you know, when I saw that headline, I didn't think much of it. Yet as soon as the headline came out, the selling pressure came into the market. I saw it selling off on what I would consider to be, and by the way, tomorrow is going to be the day we see cash money coming back into the market. The third trading day of the month is when the public pension funds come in. But today's that Spanish headline, for some reason, kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't know how to react to it. I needed somebody to explain it to me.
That's what it is. And with due apologies to Irving Stone for parodying the novel, the great title of his excellent novel, it's the typical cycle in Europe. It's the ecstasy and the agony. They find ways to get ecstatic temporarily, then they get agony. And that, by the way, gets us right back around to where we started with QE, where I still say this whole QE anticipation was very constructive because people could imagine it was anything, and it was really very significant. And what it might accomplish, though, in terms of actually improving the economy. And they're already saying the Fed buying these mortgage securities have driven up the price. That makes the banks happy. They got a bigger profit margin, but it's not turning into lower mortgage rates. And the whole point is, it's still the pie in the face metaphor. It's the old pie in the face gag, Jack, where the guy would be sitting in a cafe, another man would come in, put a whipped cream pie on the table, look at the pie, look at the other man, reach for it, turn it a bit, not throw it at him, sit down, smile at him again. And the anticipation was just greater and greater comic tension. You get tons of laughs. But much like the QE announcement, once you throw the pie, gag's over.
Well,
you're back to the real world.
I guess for me, it's a... You know what? And that's a good analogy. I guess I'm gonna use a different analogy. It's almost like a surfer being on a wave, and you're following this wave, and all of a sudden you realize it's a tsunami taking you across the ocean. You don't know when it's gonna go, and you don't know when it's gonna stop. And quite frankly, you know, you're afraid because, you know, there's a big unknown there. At least when you're surfing towards a beach, you know that there's a beach there.
I'm also an inveterate plagiarist, folks. You can look forward to seeing that metaphor in the Roar blog sometime soon as well.
Alan, you know what? You don't even have to give me credit for it, my friend. There you go. But I'll tell you what, but it's interesting. Again, on a day, folks, where the market was down, you know, again, it is one of those things. And, you know, talking with Alan here, and, of course, we're going to bring Eric Long on in just a couple of minutes here in the next segment again. And for those of you that don't remember Eric, he's the managing director of Quant Trade LLC. They do algorithms. They do high-frequency trading at a time where, you know what, all of a sudden it's become a very dirty term. And I sent Jim Cramer a nasty little note today on my Twitter. If you don't follow me, you go to at the Jack B Show, and you could see exactly what I wrote to him. And there was a little something where I said, you know, all the strategies, whether it be index arb, stat arb, or basic, you know, trading is done through an algorithm considered high frequency trading. Not all of them are predatory. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on the Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on a day where a lot of red on the board. You know, in fact, if you look, you've got oil down, gold down. You know, the only thing that was up today, natural gas was up, and so was copper. Two markets that I look at and two markets that I love. Of course, we've been talking with Alan Rohrbach, and we're going to bring on another guest. I love this when we get more than one guest here. I call it the McLaughlin group of the Jack B Show. We got Eric Long. He's the managing director of Quantrade LLC. They are revolutionizing the industry, as I like to call it, doing a lot of different things. Eric, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for having me back.
All right, get closer to the microphone so they can hear you. All right. Eric, you know what? You're doing some exciting stuff, man. You guys have got this whole Roxy soft launch going on. Explain what Roxy is. Talk about the soft launch. I'm excited about it. I know you are too. And I've got a lot of customers and fledgling traders and experienced guys that are all looking forward to this.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Roxy is... it's actually a brainchild of mine. It started in January of this year, and it was originally a product that we created internally because we wanted to use it for ourselves. And it's an acronym. It stands for Remote Order Exchange Interface. And basically what it is it's a way for traders of all different types to trade through the data center in 350 East Cermak. And it allows you to do low latency trading. And also it's backed up, and the technology that's used is state of the art.
Okay, stop right there. I'm an old S&P guy from the, you know what, where I used to have hand signals for me were technology. All right, you know what? Right. You know, going to my forehead with my index finger was buying 10. All right, so now when you say low latency, go and explain why it's important. Explain why somebody would want that, because there are people out there that are saying, you know, you're speaking Greek to me. Explain it in English.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, you mentioned algorithmic trading earlier, and a lot of people are under the belief that it, just because an algorithm you're trading algorithmically that you're doing high-frequency trading. Well, that is the case in certain cases. It is true, but that's not necessarily always the case. And what we're doing here is we allow someone to use an algorithm on a server that's located next to the exchange, electronic exchange gateways, and they can remotely log in with a little box that they can take anywhere in the world. And with that, they can see, it's like a window, they can see inside of the server and see what their algorithm is doing and just flip a switch and let it trade for them. So it's
that really is cool stuff, man. Now, do they need to buy anything? Do they need to add any hardware to their existing computer? Do they
absolutely not. They don't even need a computer.
Really?
All they need is this little box that attaches to a monitor and to a keyboard and their mouse. So
that's kind of, Alan, what do you think? Isn't it? I mean, I said that they were revolutionizing things. That's kind of neat, isn't it?
You know what? It gets back to the same sort of thing they're saying Facebook has to tackle, because everything's going mobile.
Yeah.
And this sounds like it's highly mobile, Eric. Like someone can really, if they can get to any kind of computer setup, they don't need any proprietary big equipment, even a laptop, to carry around with them.
Not at all. And that's exactly what makes this so special, because they can. They can take this little box with them. As long as they can connect to an internet and some sort of an internet connection, they can log directly into, like I mentioned, state-of-the-art technology, and it's available to the masses now.
Hey, here's a question for you. Look, if I'm looking to set up, say, a disaster recovery site or something like that,
sure.
Is there even a need to do that? Or is this because it's remotely located? Explain how that would work.
Well, it's already been done, so there is no need to do that. So, for instance, if you're trading, and let's say your power goes out, and you're trading through this interface that I'm talking about, well, your algorithm will still keep trading in the data center, so because you're remotely accessing it. So regardless of what happens where you're at locally, your trading still is safe, and if power goes down, it's already backed up.
Yeah, Eric, it sounds just from latest pop terms to describe stuff that is actually operating remotely and off on remote servers, it sounds like there's another variation of something people have popularized by saying what you've got is you've got your system and the backup of what you've set up, so you don't have to worry about losing it out there in what's been known as the cloud, I guess.
Right. I think that's a fairly accurate explanation. One of the other advantages of this, and really is it's probably what most algorithmic traders are most concerned with, is not only the backup, but the speed of execution. So, you know, think of it this way from being on the trading floor. If your order can get there first in the queue, then you have a better chance of executing your trade.
I was closer to the pit, Eric. That's why I got him in before everybody. And I was louder than everybody else. So I got to yell louder than him and get it in. Hey, look, is this just something for the algorithmic trader? Is this something for everybody? I guess my point is this a very small, defined market, or is this more of a tool that just about anybody can use?
Just about anybody can use it, and that's what's great about it, because before this was limited to people that had a certain amount of capital and a certain infrastructure available to them. What we did, and this was sort of inadvertently, but we decided to offer it, is allow the basically the average trader, or maybe even a CTA or a pool operator or a hedge fund or a small prop firm, access to this type of technology without investing into this huge infrastructure. It's already been done.
Eric, it's Alan again. I get another quick question, which is this set up specifically for people who have systematic approaches. A lot of people say algorithm now. You're right, Jack. It has a taint of it. Well, some people think it's got to be high frequency.
And I think that we need to get into this discussion because, you know, it's something that I was saying earlier. When I saw them talking, and Mark Cuban, who I think should stick to owning NBA basketball teams instead of, you know, going out there and talking about high frequency trading, is blasting all algorithmic trading. Well, you know what? It tells me that he does not have a clue.
No, not right? a clue. Because this is something, some of the innovators in this were, of course, people like, let's say, TradeStation back in the day when they set up rule-based trading. Algorithms are just an advanced form. It's another name, another designation for what is rule-based trading. They just happen to be so much more complex. They gave it a fancier academic name in recent years. Isn't that right?
Exactly, Alan. And that's the part where some people get confused. So that's why it's important to make this, to clear this issue
right.
up.
And that gets me back to my other very quick question, which is, so is this remote box, the Roxy box, is it also useful for someone who says, I don't want to be algorithmic, but I can also enter trades manually on it? Or is it only for systems?
No, absolutely. I mean, you can, for instance, we're in Chicago here. Trading Technologies has a big presence. We're going to add that platform eventually to Roxy. But if someone wanted to point and click trade, they can just set that up the same way and put it on this on the server.
That's nice. What kind of charts do you guys support?
What sort of chart? Well, right now we're doing the soft launch with the multi-charts platform.
Okay,
and we're
good.
Going to continue to add.
So there is a charting service that people can use that you've got incorporated with this.
Well, sure. I mean, we're agnostic when it comes to the type of platform. It's just that we're working with them right now, and we're going to continue to add other types of software platforms. So basically, we'd like to have all of them on there eventually. But you know, we're doing this in a step-by-step fashion.
How would somebody learn more about this, Eric? I mean, if somebody's listening right now to this and trying to figure out because they're loving what they're listening, because I get excited when I hear about it. How can people get directed to you? What is it that you want them to do? Do you want them to set up as a demo account or what do you do? Explain it.
And
by the way, before he even goes there, folks, please understand the risks that are involved in any kind of trading. I don't care what kind of trading it is. You know what it is. The fact that if you put a performance bond up, you can lose more than you put up. All of that is very important. But go ahead, Eric.
Oh, sure. Well, we're actually going to be at the FIA show in Chicago at the end of this month.
You got a booth?
So, we have a booth.
All right.
So we're going to be doing the soft launch from there. We're setting up a website just for this, for Roxy. And so that will be, more information on that will be released as it develops.
When is the soft launch? Because I want to make sure you're on right around that same time, if not before that.
During the FIA show.
Okay, it is.
So at the end of October.
Okay, so let's make sure that you're on then, because we're going to be gone for a week here in Germany, and then when we come back, we can have you on before the show.
Great.
But I do want to do that. All right, I'll tell you what, guys, we're going to take a few minutes here, and then when we come back, I've got two bright minds. Let's talk markets, let's talk politics, let's talk high-frequency trading. How about it all, folks? You know, there's a lot going on this Tuesday, the 2nd of October. This is the Jack B. Show. Don't go away. We got a lot more coming for you.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before, this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Jack B. Show on a day where, again, the markets seem to be disappointing. All right. And you know what? I guess this is the time where we can really get into it. And let's get into a dialogue. And, you know, Eric, I'm going to start with you only because I've been picking, you know, I get to pick Alan's brain all the time here.
Sure.
And for those that are just joining us, we got Eric Long on, the managing director of Quantrade LLC. Yeah, anything. They got some real neat stuff going on there, folks. I would absolutely recommend that you dig into what Eric's doing. And, of course, Alan Rohrbach, who's been with us for the whole hour here, the founder of Roar International, I guess, market pundit extraordinaire, renaissance man, a little bit of everything. Eric, give me your take on the market. You've been looking at these things trade. You saw QE3, you saw the announcement. What do you like? What don't you like? Give me your gut feel.
Well, you know, I was listening to what you two were discussing earlier, and I have to say that overall, I am bearish on the market. However, I think with the quantitative easing, we're going to see continued rally for some time.
Why are you bearish, though? Explain to me. Is it because of, the obvious? Is it the bad news, the fiscal cliff, and everything else?
I think that's part of it. Also, I expect that there's going to be an increase in inflation soon, and you can even see it in the commodity prices as they're rising.
But it doesn't seem to be look, I've been looking for that, too, which is one of the reasons I always keep talking about making sure that you're exposed to the market. And I guess, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. I guess I don't see it in PPI. I don't see it in CPI. I do see it when I go to fill my gas tank up and when I want to go fill my grocery cart up. But do you really see the velocity of inflation kicking in?
I believe it will, yes. And I mean, going back to the gasoline, of course, gasoline prices always seem to be sticky.
Well, yeah, so it's amazing.
They don't go down as fast as they go up for some reason. But yes, I think that we just have to because of the fact that at least in my opinion, the fact that we're printing so much money right now, it has to have a bearing on this.
So, Alan, what's your take now? I mean, do you see that inflation problem kicking? I think we all do. It's more a question of time. Even Charlie Evans yesterday was talking about it, but he said it's not going to probably be a problem for another 2 or 3 years.
Well, it'll happen all at once when they finally get the real problem sorted out, which is you and I have cited since it's a couple of years ago already in 2010, the taxulationism, when they finally get a tax regime that makes sense in this country and you lower your regulatory impediments to growth, then companies will start to invest and the uptake of all these products with, we're talking about the Fed's balance sheet. And, Jack, you pointed this out before, and I'm respectful of it, even though I think the situation now means we will get some economic weakness first. When these companies get any excuse to invest, the balance sheets are so huge, you will get what we've seen in every other cycle and why this one has failed to bounce so well, competitive development spending by corporations.
But we're not getting it. And that's exactly why I think, Eric, you're talking about being bearish this market, because something's happening – And I guess my point is that, you know, if eventually, I think, you know, the asset price inflation and equity price inflation is going to take over, and I agree with you, but the real question is this: will we see multiple expansion along with it? Because if we do, then it's almost, you know, it's almost counterintuitive. The market ends up going up even with the economy doing poorly.
Well, I don't think you're going to see expansion unless banks start lending money. So one of the issues that we have here is that, and I wasn't opposed necessarily to bank bailouts, but why was there should have been a caveat involved that required the banks to lend the money. So, I mean, there really is no incentive for banks to lend money.
Well, right, I agree. In fact, that was one of the reasons, and Alan, you've heard me say this time and time again, I think that one of the things the Fed should be doing is setting that inflation, that target inflation rate out and force that capital out the door.
But it relates to the regulatory environment. And that is the big problem, because just what we've seen with what the Fed's target is, with the mortgage rate. We're going to buy mortgage securities because that's going to keep rates lower. And maybe there are certain people, even at this point, even though part of one of the blogs I did a week and a half ago before the Fed meeting, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, a very enlightened woman, said, who's not buying a house because mortgage rates are too high? That's not the case. It's whether you qualify. And the other side of the coin is they both gave the banks a lot of money, but they sent the regulators in and go, you can only lend it to five-star credits. Well, and that's the problem.
The other part of qualifying is the fact that these houses are not being appraised at the right valuations.
Or maybe they're being appraised at the right valuations now, but they will no longer allow for the micro upgrades to the houses. In other words, my wife and I sold her parents' house after, you know, they had passed away. And this goes back to before the housing crunch. You know, this goes back to 2001. And I said to the guy, it's got an aggregate driveway. It's got a deck. New regulations here mean you cannot have a deck. You can't add one. It's got granite countertops, this and that. The guy looked around and said, okay. Gave the house an extra 20, 25 grand worth of value for all of the features. Can't do that anymore.
Right.
If it's worth it, they can't.
I think those days of predatory lending and predatory appraising should be over. And I know that.
Right.
But it's a problem. Eric, before we lose you here, you know, because you're going to be gone after this segment. What else do you see trading? I mean, you know, I know that you spend a lot of time with these algorithms, but where are people's attention? Where is it focused? Is it a specific market? Do you see it more in the S&P equities? Do you see it moving to like certain commodities? Where are people calling you up and saying, "Get me in here"?
Well, we've been focusing on gold and also euro currency. It seems that there's a big interest in that, particularly I think in both of those because they're linked in a certain sense. So I would say those two markets, that's what we've been trading predominantly as of late. And I think there's still a large interest in that.
Do you only deal with those markets, or do you find, I mean, are those just the ones that people seem to be focused on?
They just seem to be. And also crude seems to spike its head every once in a while, and people seem to be interested in
that. It's funny because all of those markets you mentioned are markets that I find very difficult to trade on my own. Because you have to watch them very carefully. And that's one of the beauties with algorithmic trading is you can put these things on. I can put it on and walk away from it, can't I?
Well, we don't walk away from any of our trades, but we're always watching them.
Well,
I understand what you mean.
I guess, you know what, if Alan's got a customer, or better yet, if he's got a friend who's a doctor who doesn't have the time but wants the exposure but has an idea for an algorithm or something, now that's exactly somebody can help, right?
We manage funds for people that are interested in investing in algorithmic trading. So, for example, one of our gold programs actually trades market noise in the evening, and we have algorithms that measure that. And so we're in and out of the market each day trading gold, and it's been doing very well. So, I mean, that's one approach, but it's not just the algorithm itself. There's also a systematic approach to doing this.
Now, again, Eric Long. Eric, it's always a pleasure having you on, my friend. You're going to have to come on. You're going to have to tell us a lot about this thing, how it's launching. And what we'll do is I'd like to bring on people that are actually successful users of Roxy that can come and talk about it a little bit. And I think that because there are people out there. And Alan, tell me. I mean, this is one of the first times you're hearing it. Isn't this kind of neat?
I think the mobility of it in that form, so compact and easily transported, is very sensible. And it just sounds like an excellent multi-platform access tool is what it really is.
You know
with
what,
the automation built in, right?
Alan? You know what? That is where we have to stop it, because that is probably the best way to end this segment.
Jack's abusing my articulation skills again.
Eric Long, folks. All right, Eric, again, always a pleasure, my friend. All right, we're going to bring him on again in another couple of weeks when they have this. We're going to take a few minutes, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it up here with Alan Rohrbach for the week, because I will be done and going to Deutschland.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
And welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here on this Tuesday with Alan Rohrbach. Again, on a day where the market ended up mixed, folks, you saw it happen. We saw gold. We saw everything else down. The euro was up a little bit. I'm a little concerned about this market. I started the show off by saying this market was a little sick. At least it was acting sick. There's a lot of news coming out these next few days. All right, and I guess, you know what, Alan, between unemployment and what is going on out in Europe, You know, I mean, I don't know where to start. You tell me.
It's a good question, Jack, because, you know, the two big focal points, if you must know, are going to be continued rolling events in Europe, but especially you've got the ECB meeting on Thursday, and, of course, the Q&A, people are just going to be after Draghi going, what do you actually know about Spain?
Are we going to see anything come out of that ECB meeting? Do you think there's going to be a surprise at all? Or are
No, I do not. No
surprise. Because I know a lot of people always prepare for surprises, but in this case, I don't know if anybody
One reason. Is. He does not have leave to surprise. What he did up to the last meeting before the last meeting when he said we'll do what's necessary, then people thought they were a bit disappointed that he didn't do more. But he said, here's the mechanism. And he shoved it back to the politicians and said Spain and the Eurozone have to sort out the arrangement. And once that's sorted out, I can move, but I can't move before that. And I think he's just going to stick to his line on that, as opposed to Bernanke, who caved into the liberals here in the form of Schumer. Not to knock the liberals, but he went a certain way, Mr. Bernanke, on saying, I will move because nothing's going to happen politically. That was his call.
Do we have to start paying attention to what these prime ministers are saying again all of a sudden? I mean, when Rajoy or if you know Monti says something, I mean, do I have to walk into the office every morning, all right? Or better yet, when I'm in Europe next week, do I wake up every day, turn on the TV just to hear what these guys are saying?
Just like you, Jack, take an unfair advantage again. The most critical part of the whole process, and you're over there finding out before the rest of us.
No, I'm only there to drink beer and at Oktoberfest
okay,
in Munich.
No, but what we have is, yes, on a micro trend basis. But the only big news would be if Spain comes out and definitively says we're ready for the bailout, which nobody expects to happen until next week. They're going to keep this dynamic we spoke about earlier of Spain being under a little less pressure because the yields are down, but knowing the yields won't stay down unless they toe the line on asking for a bailout. It's a very dynamic situation. It's going to be worth a micro swing either way. What's more important right now is where we started with the whole QE effort. Now, let's allow something you know. I know I have said it. I know you have warned your listeners on many occasions. Look, folks, when the Fed announces something, you get a knee-jerk reaction. But as you noted earlier, Jack, maybe all this QE will work, but
lag
right now
time.
The market's not acting, but it's lag time.
That's
Central
right.
bank policy takes 4 to 9 months to actually affect the economy, so maybe it will work. But right now, that's the problem in the dynamic. You said a lot of news is coming up. Well, we have, of course, tomorrow on Wednesday, we've got the ADP numbers, and the whisper numbers are well below the 135,000 jobs that is already down from last month's 200 area.
I've seen a revision now down two or three times in both the ADP report and in our non-farm payroll report coming out on Friday. I mean,
right.
Is it my imagination, or are we seeing the street bracing for bad news there?
I think that's it. But that means to a certain degree, as you pointed out in past cases, it's built in, but that might be why the market is acting a bit poorly. But even so, even if it comes out at 135 being less than 200 from last month, the trend isn't good. And if it comes out 100 or less, that's going to affect the market. And also, while it will be after we've seen European Central Bank rate decision and the press conference will have wrapped up, I'm hearing that the factory orders number on Thursday might also be quite a bit worse than the 2% lower than they're expecting. It might be as bad as -5% to -6%.
Factory orders, I don't worry about because that's more of a lagging indicator for me.
I understand, but think about this. It's durables, construction spending. Durables last week, construction spending on Monday. If factory order shows more weakness than expected as well.
That's your trifecta of bad news.
Well, it's going to set a general idea that things are weakening. Now, that's the totally, you know I love using one term when it comes to the markets, that's a totally perverse aspect of all this, which is what? All of that is the best reason in the world that for all I think it was a mistake and they should have shoved the problem back at Congress, all the good reason in the world why the Fed had to maybe do something. On the other hand, it's setting up a mentality, a misplaced mentality right now that, well, they did the QE, look how weak the data is, and it's a bad complex of news to hit at the same time, even though we know there's a lag.
Well, the one thing that I will mention, and you know that makes perfect sense to me, Alan, just so you know, and I will point out that the selling that we have seen these last couple of days, I saw it yesterday, I saw it today, even though the market was mixed, you know, we saw the selling midday. All of that was what I call indirect selling. This is selling that seemed to come out of the options pits from people that were buying protection as opposed to people liquidating positions.
It
tells me that maybe going into this period, that just, you know, that uncertainty that's hanging over the market, you know, is there. Here's the question, though. Is there a number in your mind that we might see on Friday that can turn skeptics into bulls?
Well, if you're going to have a number on Friday that really squares the circle for the bulls, then that is going to have to be something up around 150, because you're looking for another modest improvement. But there's been so much discussion lately about anything. Even Bernanke said yesterday, anything around 200 doesn't do anything more than keep up with the growth of population. You're not going to lower your unemployment rate. So as opposed to being down near 100 or 115, if you're over 150, you're at least getting to where you're keeping up, fine. Otherwise, if it's down around where they expected at 115 or 100, it's saying we're falling behind to population growth. If the only reason the unemployment rate goes down, and your friend Santelli was very big on this on CNBC after the last report, is because the participation rate is dropping faster than they thought,
That
does not make for a strong economy. Last note here. I know we're on the way out the door, Jack. 1450 S&P future. If it goes above that, you're saying what would tell
right.
us the market's bullish? If you're above 1450 on the weekly
basis.
Close on after that number Friday, then the bears are whipped again, and you're probably going up to 1475. If you're not through 1450, market remains vulnerable to see 1400.
Well, you know what? I don't mind it up here. Alan Rohrbach, folks, Rohr-Blog International. Is that what it is?
Just Rohrblog and search for it. Rohr International's blog.
ROH. Again, Alan Rohrbach, one of the finest minds on the street.
Pleasure being here, Jack.
That's it for me, folks. Again, I will not be with you over the course of this next week. And Alan, I'll make sure that my daughter gets a papal blessing from Rome and brings it back, and I'll indirectly give it to you. How about that?
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. And for those of you out there, again, be very careful. A lot of information coming out these next few days. I'm Jack Baroogian for Alan Rohrbach. Have a wonderful evening, an even better week, and I'll be talking to you the next week.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.